Can we put our hands together for Pastor Stephen as he brings the word from God today?
Thanks, Brother Doug. Thank you, everybody. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Thank you, worship team. Really appreciate you guys. Man, praise God. What a beautiful time to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, our theme of our prayer meetings is engage. And yesterday, you know, we have prayer every Wednesday night and Saturday mornings, 7 a.m. And yesterday, I just had a special touch. The Lord just touched me in such a powerful way. One moment I'm praising God, lifting my hands and singing in joy, and I'm laughing. And next, I'm sitting down, I'm crying like a baby. And I don't even know why, but I know it's the Lord. The Lord's working in my heart. You know, he's touching me. And I just so appreciate the Spirit of the living God. That Jesus died for us. You see the old cross up here? He paid it all for us so that we can experience God, to have him, to be reconciled back to him. Because we were all lost. But while we were still sinners, dead in our sins, Christ died for us. Amen? What a love. What a love. Let us never forget. And that's why every time we have communion, I think about that. His great love. Because this world, you know, this world is passing away. The world, the system, Satan, the devil, all the evil, it's passing away. There's going to be a day, but right now it's still very active, right? There's still, we look out in the world, we see all kinds of stuff going on, and we know. I appreciate what Brother Doug shared and Pastor Pat, because I'm going to go along that line, and I'm going to talk about his kingdom, and his kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming. Well, let me pray first. It's just, could you stretch out your hand towards me? I just appreciate your prayers because, Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your love and mercies, God, and for your sending your word to heal us and deliver us from destruction. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God the Word, that you came, Lord, to give us life and life more abundantly, to deliver us from darkness, to deliver us from our sins, to deliver us from death and hell. Lord, I thank you, God, in making us citizens of the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing, what a joy. We're so blessed. Thank you for your message, Lord, to us today. Speak to us, Lord. Open our hearts, our eyes, our ears to hear what you want to say to us. We just commit this time to you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way now. Have your way in Jesus' name. We all say amen. Amen. You know, I come to you in the name of Jesus, not my own name, okay? I'm standing before you, behind this pulpit. And I just believe God gave me a message for all of us, myself included. And the title is, The Kingdom is Coming. His kingdom is coming. And you know, we know from reading the Gospels, that the first one to start preaching that was John the Baptist, right? When he came as a forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord. And what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, within reach. And you know, at that moment, there was a disturbance in the force, in the world, you know, because Satan in the world system, he's called the God of this world, the world system, the ruler of this age. And when John the Baptist came on the scene, there was a shaking, there was a happening, there was a violence in the spirit, because that was prophesied in Isaiah, remember that? He would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah, proclaiming a message of repentance. Everybody knows what repentance is, right? It's a turning away, changing our mind. The Bible says, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Ways and thoughts. Not just thoughts, but ways. What we're doing. Amen. Because the Bible says in Isaiah, it talks about that, how everybody are like sheep going their own way. Just going their own way. But John the Baptist came, began to preach, and a short time later, here comes our Lord Jesus. Gets baptized in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's driven into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested and tried. And then he comes out in the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, preaching. What was his message when he came out preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same message. But then he began to share about, he called God his Father, which nobody else ever did. And he began to reveal the Father and show what the Father's like. And he began to teach about his kingdom. And the disciples were looking for a Messiah, for a Savior that would take over and kick out the Romans at their time. They were looking for somebody to forcefully get rid of the Romans and reestablish Israel as a kingdom. But we know the story. That wasn't to be at that moment. But nevertheless, the Lord demonstrated the kingdom of God amongst men. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Did many miracles, signs, and wonders. But still yet, many didn't receive him. As a nation, they rejected him, it says. And they ended up being severely punished. Judgment came upon them, and Israel was dispersed again. But I want to start from Luke chapter 17, and this is while Jesus was walking amongst the Pharisees in the temple, and he was being confronted by the Pharisees, which were the religious leaders at that time in Israel. And they were asking Jesus in verse 20, it says, the kingdom of God, well, they were asking him in verse 20, it says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And some translation says, with amongst you. But for us, if you're a believer, receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is within you. Because Paul talks about it in Romans 14, 17. He says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, what we can see in this world, but he says it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said that's the kingdom of God here right now. It's invisible. Jesus described it like the wind, that you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects and feel it. The Holy Spirit, when he moves amongst us, he's here, he's present. And when he moves amongst us and manifests Jesus to us, there's evidence. There's manifestations, we call it, of Jesus' ministry. Because really, we're a part of Jesus' ministry. It's his ministry, and we're all a part of that as a body. As his body, he's the head, and we're the body, and we're all members of one another. Isn't that right? So, the kingdom of God, he said, is within you. So this morning, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the kingdom of God. But the question is, are you experiencing the kingdom of God like the way you want to? What God has provided for us. You know, there's a fullness. There's a blessing. It's not just a head knowledge, right? It's not just us thinking about, oh, how wonderful. One day we're going to go to heaven. One day we're going to see the Lord. No, it's more than that. That Jesus sent, the Father sent the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. He's no less than God the Father. He's no less than God the Son. He is God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. I don't understand it all, but somehow by faith I believe it and receive it because that's what he says. Amen? And he comes to live in us, and he said he's the Spirit of truth that will reveal Jesus to us. He will reveal the Father to us. And he will reveal the truth of what all that entails, what that means. He's the Spirit that gives us discernment. He opens our eyes to help us understand and see what's really going on so that we won't be deceived. So these Pharisees are asking, when is this going to happen? When is your kingdom coming? When are you going to take over, Lord? But what does the Lord tell them? This is verse 22. He goes on. He says, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say, look here or look there, and do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines in the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. This is the Son of Man coming, Jesus coming. And he says, but he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. First, he must suffer, and we know that's the cross. But he's coming. He who was and is to come. He is God. Who was, who is right now, and is to come. That kingdom of his is coming, and it's going to take over all the world one day. But we know in the meantime, there's a battle, war going on. And that war has been won already in Jesus. At the cross, Jesus disarmed all the powers of darkness against us by forgiving us our sins and blotting them out. As far as the east is from the west, he has forgiven and cleansed us, as many as us who have received him. Isn't that true? What a joy. What a blessedness. But he doesn't leave it just as that. He calls us his sons and daughters. He makes us a part of his family. He gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us to be enabled to live and walk, to think and walk with our God in a way that's pleasing to him. Amen. Just like he said, when you're in Christ, God sees Christ, the perfect Son of God, Jesus. But we know the Holy Spirit's still working on us, right? We know God's working in us, and we're being transformed in the process, and we're being changed. And so we understand these things. And so it goes on. This is the part I wanted to get to today, mainly, is as it says, and Jesus saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Let me stop there for a moment. The days of Noah. You guys familiar with that story in the Bible in Genesis? How in Hebrews 11, it talks about all the heroes of faith, all those that were great in following the Lord. And Noah was one of the examples. For in his day, God warned him that he was going to send the flood, that it was going to rain. And it never rained before. That was something new. But Noah believed God. It says he, in faith, he was moved with fear, godly fear. He believed God, even though he never seen rain. He never experienced it like that. And he says that the whole world, God was going to wipe out all that, the world as it was then, because of what? You guys remember that part? Why was God going to judge the world? Because there was only wickedness in men's hearts and thoughts continually. And God warned, and he found Noah as a righteous man, and he warned Noah. And so Noah moved in fear. He built an ark, built that big ship, and obeyed the Lord. And it says, on the day, what does it say? they were eating and drinking, all the people, until the day Noah entered that ark and God closed the door. God closed the door. And then what happened? They all drowned. That was it. You know, right now, we're living in a day like that. And even the Bible in James, it says, God is at the door. God is at the door. And there's a time that he's going to shut the door. God is love. Amen? We know the love of God, but you also got to understand the holiness and the judgment of God, because God is the righteous judge, and he will not violate his character and principles. And he's the great king, and he will judge the world. And he's, even today, we're living in a day where many, many are hearing the gospel in the West, in America, and there's, I don't know, we're believing and praying for everyone, because if we reject the message of salvation, what do you think's left? There's nothing but judgment. Even though God loves everyone. It's not his will that any should perish. Nobody should perish and go to hell. It was made for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. But God in his holiness and perfection, and he has provided through the death of his son, giving the son to suffer and die and take our place, so that we could be his and come into experience his love and freedom. We're praying about it. We're talking about it today. And the sense of peace that only God can give us. Peace with God, first of all, and then peace in our hearts for one another. Learning to forgive one another. Learning to love one another. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to the fellowship, to learn these things and be ready and be prepared. So just like going on with this, they were eating, they were drinking, until the time came, the flood came and destroyed them all. And it says, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. Remember Lot, the nephew of Abraham, who was following Abraham at the time, and the time came for their flocks were too big, they had to divide. And Abraham said, choose the land, whatever area you want, and I'll go the other way. Well, Lot chose the area of Sodom and Gomorrah and that land. And what happened? You know the story. And what does it say? It says, as in the days of Lot, they were eating, they were drinking, they were selling, buying, they were planting, they were building. They had their life good. Life was great. Everything was wonderful. But on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. It destroyed them all. He says, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Brothers and sisters, I know we're looking forward to the rapture, which is a teaching in the Bible, that he's coming to rapture us. And you know, there's so many teachings and warnings about how we are to live and prepare ourselves for his coming. Amen? And there's, you know, like the parable of the 10 virgins about 5 foolish, 5 wise, and about the oil and not having enough oil. The foolish didn't have enough oil. You know, I don't know about you, man, but I want to be full of oil. I want to be ready for his coming. Amen? The word of God is true. The word of God, talking about, you know, having our houses established and prepared, our families. And how is this, you know, how we are asking God for wisdom, how to live in a way that's pleasing to him. Through his word, he explains it. He shares it with us. And by his spirit, he imparts to us the revelation and understanding of all these things. And we're living in this day right now that, think about this for a moment. Everybody's heard the news about what happened in Nepal and how devastating and catastrophic that was. You guys watch some of the video clips of that and see how horrible that was. It's the first time I've seen something like that, where people were actually running And it was so devastating, so incredibly powerful. They had no chance. No chance. It said they only had minutes. Some of the news I read, heard, it said they only had minutes before it hit. There was no warning. You know, that's what made me really set my mind on this. Because when the time comes, when the Lord decides, that's it, the door shuts without warning. Without warning, it's going to happen. It's over. You know, only God knows. But in the meantime, you know, the gospel is good news. It's good news. But we got to understand, there's some warnings about where people are at, where we're at. If I didn't believe the gospel, I had the worst experiences. I'm not going to go into all of it as far as demonic. And I learned there is a devil. He hates me and he wants to kill me. And he tried to get a hold of me and God snatched me out of his hands. And I praise God today that I'm here today because I know he's real. But God is no comparison. God is awesome beyond. You know, devil was created as Lucifer. We know the story. But the point of it is, I know the time is coming, man. And we got to warn people, not just tell them that God loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. Yeah, we got to know the truth on the cross, what he did for us. But you also got to understand the warnings. If you read the New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, Apostle Paul, all of them, they all warn the people, the Christians. They're warning us to be ready. They're warning us to be holy because he is holy. It's not about an intellectual gospel. You know, James 1:22, what does it say? Be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving ourselves. That we can just hear. Oh, that was a great message. That was a good message. And we go home, and a couple of days later, somebody asks you, hey, what did the pastor preach on? I don't know. It's happened to me. But the thing about it is, we got to do what we hear. We got to apply it. If there's no application, there will be no blessing. It's just head knowledge, and there's plenty of people who can quote the scriptures, can do all kinds of stuff, memorize the Bible, and yet their heart is not the Lord's. And I've heard things, right, in the world of Christianity where different leaders have fallen from one sin or another. We need to be ready by not just hearing the message, but by applying a message, applying the word of God. What is God speaking to you? Because that's as far as you go. And if you feel like, man, I'm kind of stuck, you know, I'm kind of stuck. It's probably because you haven't applied what God has been speaking to you about. Because he speaks, if you're listening. He wants to say what? He wants to be a part of your life and let you know what's going on. If we're listening, if we're making the time for him, if we get on, like my pastor brother says, get on the same frequency to hear him. Get rid of all the clatter and all the jangling and all the noise of the world and get into your closet, prayer closet, and spend the time to hear his voice and know what he's saying to us. But that's why we have preachers and teachers too. I'm a preacher. I'm called to preach. And God calls, we need it all. We need teaching. We need preaching. We need it all. The body of Christ is manifold wisdom. Amen. God's wondrous, wondrous. And so he's talking to us today. I believe that he's given me a scripture in, I'll read it from Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And, you know, in warning, the joy and the blessing to know that God did not appoint us to wrath, to judgment. He said, if you believe in Jesus, you receive him, man, you're declared justified and righteous in his sight. That's a judicial term. That means in God's eyes, you are clean. You are his son, his daughter. It's done. You are ready. You are able to come into his presence. But in Second Peter, let me go there. I had it and I missed it up. Chapter 3, I'll read it from verse 9. Or verse 8, let me go back to verse 8. It says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's not God's will that any should perish. You know, there are those who are debating whether that thing that happened in Nepal, was it God's judgment? Or, no, Pastor Pat just mentioned, it says before he comes, there's going to be birth pangs. The birth pangs that the Lord mentioned was earthquakes. There's going to be floods. There's going to be all kind of catastrophes happening in the world. The birth pangs getting ready for the birth of the kingdom of heaven to earth. And that's our prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So there's all these things going on, all this turmoil going on. And don't be surprised, he said, because these things have to happen before he comes. And so the Lord's saying he's long-suffering towards us. Thank God. Thank God he didn't come yet, because if I wasn't in the kingdom, thank God he didn't come while you were still in the world. Or, you know, even today, if you don't know the Lord, now's your opportunity to receive him while the door is still open. Amen? Whew. But he says, but the day of the Lord, that's the day he's coming. He says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You got the picture? A thief in the night. We'll be unaware, just like if it was in our house. You don't know the day, the hour, the time. But you better be ready. He says, be ready. There's other parables about this in the Gospels. But he says, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. It's not going to be a flood next time God judges the world. It's going to be fire. And he's going to destroy. It's going to burn up. But he says, it's all going to be burned up. And therefore, this is the point, verse 11, he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? How should we be living? What should we be setting our hearts on? Because the Lord says in his word, 1 John 2, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Because the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. It's not of the Father. But the one who does the will of God, who lives for God, to please God, he shall live forever. Right? The world is passing away. The lust thereof. And I don't know about you, but man, you go out and as soon as we leave this place, it's a battle zone for temptation. All kind of snares can grab you if you're not strong in the Lord, right? We all want to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, so that we can be able to resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, right? And be able to glorify the Lord in our lives. What kind of person should we be? If you read the Bible, it says, work out your own salvation, Philippians. Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's God who works in you. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in the Word. God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Right? So that's how we have to live. If we have, I'm just going to say this because I know we all struggle. All kind of struggles. We all have different areas in our life that God is wanting to cleanse and purge us of, that we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to get it out and get it, be free of it. That's why we're having Wellspring. We're going to be having some teachings on that. Because how many of you know, God wants to restore our soul. He wants to restore it. And he promises that, you know, Psalms 23 is so beautiful about how God, he leads us by the still waters. He restores our soul and leads us in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why it's in his name, because of who he is. He is faithful and true, and he will do it. So he's calling us. When he says, be holy, for I am holy, that's a command. And if he gives you a command, he gives you the power to obey him and to understand what that is about. How do we live that out? How do we live in a holy life in a world that is in darkness and ungodliness? That we go to church, we come out, we should come out with more to be able to apply in our daily walk, that our faith would be strengthened, that our faith would be strong in the Lord. Amen? Strong. God calls us to be strong in him, not in our own selves, because that's how we learn in the world. We learn that, hey, in myself, I can't live it. It's only by his power, by my relationship, having a relationship with the Lord inside of me. He's right here. He's not far away. He's Jehovah Shammah. He is God who is present. He is there before I get there. He is behind me. He's before me. He is all around me. And that's where he is right now amongst all of us. He is here. He's the same God. Jesus, the same. Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh. He is God who came in the flesh. But he became a man for us to take our place. Amen? What an awesome thing. And he says, if you receive him and receive his Holy Spirit, he told his disciples, in that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. What an awesome, you think about it. Would you like to know God is in you, that he's with you? In such a way where he says, do not fear, do not let your heart be troubled. He takes it all away. And he fills us with a confidence and assurance. He becomes a solid rock to us that no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the catastrophes that are happening in the world and around us and in our life, we can come to a place of refuge because God is our refuge. He is a very present help in the time of need. Amen? So he's here. He's here. And he gives us these warnings to stir us to get going again, to take a step of faith. What is God saying to each one of us? What is the step that he wants you to take? Because for me, it's always been these little steps. It's just one step at a time. As I've repented and I'm in a state of repentance, I'm forget the past, forsake, let the wicked forsake his way. I forsook it. And I'm walking forward. I'm walking towards God every day. Amen? Every day, you know, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your old life, your old self. The Bible says, if anyone would come after me and follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily to follow him. Every day, daily. But it's, what a joy to know if I die tomorrow, I'm not dying. It's only the body. I'm alive with God. Whoever's in Christ, you have eternal life now. You know that? It's not something you got to chase after and always be afraid. When you receive Jesus, you receive his life, eternal life. He said, I just thank the Lord for his promises. That's why I got the promises, but the warning has got to be there. And we have to understand how to navigate this life in a way that we are going to choose, because it's always a free choice every day what we do when we get up in the morning. What are we going to do? We have a choice to go to pray when God commands us. He's commanded David in the Psalms. It says, God, you commanded me to seek your face. Your face I will seek. He commands. His words are not just to think about and reason out. It's the commands that he commands us to do it because he loves us. And when we keep his command, this is the promise I want to bring to you again. After that, in John 14, he says, if anyone has my word, my message, my commands, I will love him, my Father will love him, and I will come to him and reveal myself to them. When you have his word and you do it. I do it. He begins to manifest. He begins to reveal himself to us. Because that's what he wants. He wants intimacy with us. That's what communion is. It's a spiritual thing. Communion is when you commune in union as one with our maker, with our creator, with our father, with our everything. He's our everything. And when we have that spiritual union, it's not up here. It's in here. It's deep. It's in our hearts. But we have, you know, in our minds, we're learning. We have to have a renewed mind. We we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So here he goes on, he says, therefore, where am I? Okay, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Consider these things. Where is our hope? What are we looking forward to? You know, anything that takes the place of God, anything that takes the place of our God in our hearts and lives, takes our time, takes our attention, that becomes an idol. And that is an idol. That's why guys who chase after money, that's idolatry. It has to do with greed. All of these things, we're living in a world right now. There's so much of idolatry, of things that are just separating us from our focus on the Lord, on his ways, of what he wants for us. Can you think of some things that are hindering you? Pastor Jacob brought up that scripture. I love that scripture about laying aside every weight, every sin that so easily entangles us to keep us from running that race that God has for each one of us. Because there is a course. Apostle Paul said he had a course to run, that each one of us, there is a race course for us. But it's not a sprint. It's an endurance race. It's a walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord, but yet we run at times too. We run from evil and we run to God. But it's a walk to learn to walk with him every day, day by day. It's enduring, enduring to the end. Jesus said, those who endure to the end shall be saved. It's going to be there. There's got to be an endurance God puts within us. He said, when you go through trials and problems, he said, count it joy, because through it you're going to be developed in endurance, the patient endurance to be able to, and God uses that to help us and perfect us so that we will get rid of all the spotless, and to be spotless and blameless before him. There's so many things. There's so many things that's why I believe in prayer all the time. Pray, like he said, pray without ceasing. Come to prayer meetings. Pray together. Why should I pray with the church? Why do I have to pray with them? I tell you why. Because God commands us to do not forsake the assembling together. Come together. We come together. We pray together. But there are prayer meetings that there is, what's that word? Multiplied. Yeah. Multiplied blessing, presence, power. Multiplied Jesus. Right? The Holy Spirit. God. When we get together and pray and we become and unified in the Spirit of God, when we get to know each other, we get to cry with each other, we get to rejoice with one another. But there's a unity that God commands us to. It's not something that we got a choice. Yeah, you can choose. You either choose to do what he says or not. We either choose to do it or not to do it. Because Jesus said, forgive, right? Forgive one another. But he says, love one another just as I've loved you. just as I've loved you. We're living in the last days. I don't know if you believe that, but I do. Man, looking around at the signs and the times and what's going on, God put this warning in my heart because he reminded me when that destruction happened in Nepal. I think that when I was weeping yesterday, I believe God weeps. The Lord weeps over the lost. You know, when you think about it, when there's times, man, lost, just like that. How many times the tsunamis we've had in Japan and Indonesia, all kinds of catastrophe, thousands of people dying. But here we are. We're not touched by it. Unless you see it on the news and really, you know, we pray, right? We pray. We say a prayer. But, man, can you imagine how God feels? He gave his only son for every person, every nation. And he said he's going to have represented from every tongue, every ethnic group, every nation are going to be before his throne. Amen? Bought by the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, be diligent to be found by him in peace. What does that mean? Be diligent. He says, this is opposite of being just passive. You know, just hang, oh, whatever, Lord, you know, if you want to touch me, you want to bless me, you can. I give you permission. I give you permission to do whatever you like. No, we got to go after it. That's why John the Baptist, Jesus, when he talked about John the Baptist, he said, you know, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There is a violence that takes place in your heart and in your spirit that you're going to go after God. I don't know about it. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever been desperate where you cry out to God and you're not going to, you're just going to, you know, you can't just sit there and say, oh, whatever. And when you know you're going to die, you have that in your heart that you have a near-death experience. What are you going to do? You're going to cry? You're going to cry to somebody. Some cry out to other gods. But praise God, when I had my episode, I called out to Jesus because I heard about Jesus when I was a little kid. I heard about Jesus, and that's what, I didn't even think about it. It just came out from here. It didn't come from my head. It was such a desperation. And can you imagine the people in Nepal? That's the center of religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, a place where how many Americans were missing? 90, I don't know, that's the count. Australians, they were there for a pilgrimage or a tour, but a lot of them go for pilgrimage to go visit the most holy places of the Hindu religions and Buddhism, up in the mountains, way up. You know, there's no other name given amongst men that were saved. And God is the judge, but all I know is what I know from what I read, and that we preach Jesus Christ. We have to go out to the nations and preach Jesus and warn the people if they don't know already. And preach the way, the truth, the life. And not just speak it, but live it. Amen? We got to be in a place where we can live it, that we can be a vessel of honor, that we can be walking holy before the Lord. So one word I have today, be ready, get prepared, be ready. God wants to use you. God has a plan and purpose for us. But it's not just to get wealthy and get rich and what the prosperity gospel is all about. There's just me getting wealthy. I'll be blessed. I'm blessed. But no. The king is coming back. He's coming back. And what we do with our life, here, I got one more last scripture here, okay? He talks about this. He talks about this that, let me read this from verse 9. It says, therefore, why is it therefore? Let me read it from verse 6. Okay, I'll tell you why it's therefore. He says, so we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord in the sense of, the body of Jesus, his physical body is in heaven at the right hand of God, okay? He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He's confident, man. He's ready. He's ready to go. To be absent from the body means he's laying this body aside. And we know the story of Paul. He got martyred at the end. So did Peter. They gave their lives for Jesus. And why? What? Look at this. It says, verse 9, therefore we make it our aim. They make it their aim now. They're aiming. He says, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's a judgment seat of Christ. Yes, we've been delivered from the judgment that the sinner is going to have in the world, that all have sinned and fall short. Everybody in the world, God says, that reject. It says in Matthew 28, it says, all those who believe, or Mark, it says, all those who believe in the gospel in Jesus Christ will be saved, but those who disbelieve will be damned. What does that mean? Everybody understand that, what it means to be damned? That means the door is shut. The door is shut. There is eternal. That's it. There's no more appeal. We can't stand before God and say, oh, but God, No, there is nothing left. It's sealed. It's done. Your eternal destiny is that way. That's it. But God is love. Remember that. God loved you so much, he gave his only son for you so that you would not go to that place of hell and destruction and wrath. Jesus warned the people so many times. But he says, Paul saying, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What is that all about? You ever read the stories in the Old Testament when Israel was going through the wilderness and how God dealt with them because they kept messing up, they kept disobeying God. But the worst thing was they were rebelling. They rebelled against God. Do you know what rebellion is? When you decidedly say, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to do you. It's totally against what the God is commanding them to do. And you know what happened? There's a story in, I'm not going to go there, but just real fast. If you read about, have you ever heard of Korah? Korah and Dathan, and what happened with all his, the whole group of them that came against Moses, they came against Aaron, and they said, who are you guys to lead us in the wilderness? Who are you guys? So God chose Moses. God chose them, and he delegated the authority to Moses and Aaron to lead the people. And when those two guys rose up and rebelled against God and said, we're not, who are you think you are? We can do it. What happened to them? Do you know the story what happened? The earth opened up and swallowed them all. Everybody in there, whatever who was associated with them, everything they had, they were swallowed up. I'm telling you. And then the people themselves the next day said, why did you, complaining to Moses and Aaron, why did you guys kill, you guys killed our leader, Korah. You guys, who do you think you are? And they were going to stone them. They were coming after Moses, and all of a sudden God's presence came and his appearance, his Shekinah glory showed up. And he told Moses, separate yourselves from these guys. I'm going to consume them right now. But you know, I know it's not funny, but I think about it. The picture, they were all rebels. They were rebelling. And what happened? Moses interceded for them. And he told Aaron, the high priest, take your censer, that's that holder with fire in it, and incense, and go into the crowd of the congregation and make, what did he do? Atonement. That's a picture of Jesus, if you look into it, okay? Because only the high priest, Jesus Christ, could make atonement for our sins, right? But that crowd of people, the congregation, there was a plague that started. The judgment of God was starting. And over 14,000 people died right there. But when Aaron ran into the middle, he says he stood between the dead and the living to stop the plague. And the mercy of God was extended. You know, we're called a priesthood. We're called by God to intercede and to offer up the incense of praise and worship to our God. We're called with a high calling. Do we understand that our prayers have power with God when we're living before the Lord in faith and believing Him? Do you know our prayers can pray? We can pray and help other nations and help other peoples. That's why we have all these flags. But if we don't pray, even for our own nation, what happens? Plagues. There could be judgments. You know, I don't know, but a lot of bad things. A lot of bad things can come. What are we doing, church? Are we ready? Are we awake? Are you praying? Are we praying? I want to encourage you to come Saturday morning. I mean, Saturday morning, we get together and we pray to get encouraged ourselves because we're living in a world of darkness, lies, deception, evil. Subtle, so subtle. It looks okay. It looks all right, but it takes you away, your heart from God. It dulls you. It numbs you. It gets you to a place where you're just one of the crowd. No testimony, no, you know, just a nice guy. I've been there, a nice guy. Just agree with everything and just don't say nothing. I'm telling you, God is moving, man. God's stirring. God wants to break all that off of us and get us to a place where we be like the book of Acts again, like the church at Book of Acts. When they prayed with fire, the Holy Spirit and fire, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the fire of God to go forward and to live for God, to be a flame for Him. Anybody here? Anybody? Praise the Lord. You want to be on fire? Are you on fire today? You want to be on fire? I want to be on fire. And I'm preaching today. And I believe God wants us all to be on fire. I'm not talking about an emotional yelling like me, but I'm talking about in our hearts there's a fire, there's a flame. Amen. That causes us to walk with Him in such a way that we're a witness, we're a light, we carry the glory of God in us, that we're living as the temple of God. This is the day the Lord has made, and now is the time. Now is the time. Can you say amen? Amen. Now is the time. Let me pray, and I'm going to turn it over to my brother, Pastor John. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You, God, that You are here this morning. I praise You and thank You, God, that You have a word for each one, God, that this word, Lord, I pray, will stir our hearts that we will not forget to be ready, to get ready, to pray, to seek Your face, to come on Saturdays or whatever days we can come, Wednesday, but get together and pray. Father God, not in eloquency, but in just a heart hungry for You, Lord, a heart that wants You, God, above everything else in this world, Lord, that we are Yours and You are ours, that we will take hold of You and to come, God, to be our God, and as You promised, so many wonderful promises. Lord, help us, God. Stir us. Let there be a fresh fire today in the name of Jesus. Can we say amen? Amen, Pastor.